And today's Mishnah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Hei in Kehilim. And we had gotten up to the sugya of how are we metaher etanur. Now, we had three very different approaches in Mishnah Zayin. And there we were talking about what is the definitive way of looking at the concept of a kli. And that led us to three completely different understandings of cutting the tanur vertically into pieces. And the question was whether the pieces needed to be separated. Could the pieces even be held together with the insulation on the other side? You'll recall three approaches. Now, how about if you cut the tanur horizontally, which means that effectively you're taking the cylinder of the tanur and you're turning it into rings. So, chatakal chuliyot l'rochbo. If you cut it into separate rings, then pochot mi'arba'at tvachim tahor. Remember that the minimal shear of a tanur is 4 tvachim. So if all of those rings were less than 4 tvachim high, they cannot serve as a tanur on their own, and therefore this is considered to be complete breakdown of the tanur, and it loses its tumah, and it cannot be mekabel new tumah, so it's tahor. Now, suppose you covered up the pieces, the rings, again with the insulation tit. And tit, of course, would turn it back into earthenware, and then you heated it up. Now, that would mean that the tit on the outside would actually become re-fired. So if you're mercho betit, it would be mekabo tuma mishi asikenu. When it reaches the temperature that we said before was the temperature of a tanur, which is baking a donut-like consistency of dough. Kedei le'afot bo suvganim. Hirchik mimenu et ha'tfila, v'natan chol otzor benatayim, b'ze amru, hanida v'ata'ora ofot bo v'hutahor. How about if what you did was, is you built an external covering so that after you cut these rings, you don't have any rings that is four. What you do is you build a separate insulating piece and you put that piece over the tanur, but it is not in contact with the tanur and it's not baked on the tanur. And then you fill in the space. If Naftali would show us a picture, it'd be great. You fill in the space between the little, okay, and the next one, that's the rings. Show us this part. Doesn't have it? Okay. So if you fill in the part, the area between the piece that you put over it and the actual tanur, so you fill it up with stones or with other insulating material. There they said you can have a nida, who's certainly tamea, and a woman who's tahora baking in it simultaneously, which means they're sticking their hands into this tanur, and nonetheless, it wasn't mekabel tuma, because the external tefela, which is not mechubar or baked on it, is not considered to be a chibur to reassemble the broken tanur. Now, how about an IKEA tanur? An IKEA tanur comes disassembled, because remember, we always ship in the cheapest possible way. So over there, how would you get an IKEA tanur? Well, you open up the box, and you've got three rings in the box. Now, you put these rings on top of each other, and then you assemble the little IKEA iron pieces that go exactly around the place where the slice was between the various rings, and they hold everything together so that now you've got a functional tanur. So tanur sheba mechutach bibeit ha'uman. If you have a tanur that is delivered from the factory in three separate rings, and you assembled it with the limudim, the limudim are these rings of metal that connect the pieces around it. This is something that you see very often in the old-style barrel, where you've got wood, but that wood wouldn't hold together if you wouldn't have the rings around the barrel that keep everything connected tightly. So this IKEA tanur uses the same idea, and you put it on, also bo limudim, v'notim alav, you put it on it. At this point, even though you did this, it's not considered to be a tanur unless you added insulation. It would be tahor. Now, if nitma, if you did the connection, and then you also put on the insulation, and that became now attached to the tanur, which we said was an absolute requirement for all tanurim before, then once you take off the rings, the tanur becomes tahar. Because again, as we saw earlier, reducing a tanur back into rings, when it was held together by, rings? Is that what I called it? Or did I call the pieces on it, the rings? I called them both rings? That was stupid. All right, so we've got these slices of rings, and then if you remove the metallic connectors around it, shaped like a ring, then it would be a tahar. But what's interesting is that even when you put it back on, it would still remain tahar. Because the point is, if you took off the insulation in order to reconnect the rings, so now unless you put on the insulation again and reheat it, it's still not going to be a tanur. If then you subsequently reattach the insulation in your merchobatin, now it will be makabel tuma. You do not need, in this case, to reheat it, because this is a tanur that was already heated from before. Now, suppose you cut it into rings and you don't attach the rings directly to each other. Instead, you put a little bit of sand or cement between the rings, as opposed to having them all touching each other and surrounded by cement. What's the din over there? This is the most famous case of a machlokas in all of Klal Yisrael's history. This is the famous Tanur Shel Achnai. So Rebbe Eliezer said, this Tanur is Tahar, because you cannot connect a Kli Cheres through other materials. You can have them touching each other and then be surrounded by other materials, which would make it one Kli. But if you have less than a shear of a Tanur, and it's being connected not directly by touching itself, but through something else, that is not considered to be a Kli Shalem. It's considered to be a Kli Shavur. Now, this actually was one of the issues that we raised in the first Mishnah that dealt with slicing through a tanur vertically. Is functionality enough? Is connectedness enough? Now, Rebbe Eliezer holds, obviously functionality is not enough to create a Kli, and only a connectedness that doesn't interfere with the shlemus of the Kli in terms of the material itself would be okay. And this, the Chachomim were metame, and this is the famous case of Tanur Shel Achnai. Achnai, most explain that the union of Achnai, based on the Gemara, very often remember that the Gemara gives an explanation to a weird name, which actually has a simple explanation. So some say Achnai was the name of the guy who had brought this tanur to be questioned to Rebbe Eliezer. But the Gemara explains it's Tanur Shel Achnai because they surrounded this tanur. Hikifu bidvarim ka Achnai. It was like an anaconda snake that is all circled. And they spent months arguing with each other about this, bringing rayas until this thing was so complex and was so surrounded by svaras that they called it an Achnai. Obviously, the simple meaning of the Achnai is that the rings are circled upon each other like a snake holding something together. You wrote in the end, of course, you know the story that they put Rabbi Eliezer into Nidui because of the fact that he refused to accept the Das of the Rabbin because this was a Kabbalah to him, but he himself told his children, you don't have a right to argue on it. This was the Shaila, whether you have to give up your own Kabbalah for the Das of the Rabbin, and so on. You wrote to Arviim. Now we get into a different issue. A functional Kli, but it does everything it needs to do. The problem is, it isn't really a Kli. Now, the Arabs take a shortcut to making a tanur. Basically, what they do is they dig a hole. Chofer ba'aret. You surround the hole with clay, and then you bake in it. Now, obviously, after time, that clay becomes hardened into the equivalent of a tanur, which is now surrounded by dirt. What's the halacha? If it's become hardened to the point that it could actually stand on its own if you took it out of the ground, you took out all the ground from around it, so then it actually becomes a kli, and it would be mekabel tuma. But if not, im lav, it's tahor. This was also a famous tanur of Ben Dinai. Ben Dinai, some of the Farshim bring, was the name of a famous crook, and he was a highway robber, and so they couldn't carry around stoves with them, but this is the way that they would break their, bake their bread. The Rambam says that this is the equivalent of the words of Tanur Shel Achnai. Achnai was a tremendous amount of arguments that the Gemara says they surrounded it with Dvorim Kachnai. And Ben Dinai means there was a tremendous amount of dinim discussions regarding this Tanur. So far what we've been discussing is a Tanur Shel Cheres. Now remember that there's something very special about a Tanur Shel Cheres in that the Torah said beferish, Tanur v'kirayim yutatz. Normally, a type of kli that only works when it's connected to the ground is by definition mechuber, and something mechuber is not mekabel tuma. It's only because of the fact that the Torah insists that when it comes to Tanur v'kirayim, we deal with netitsa, as opposed to shvira, that we have this new halacha, that these things, bedavka, are part of the way that the kli is meant to function, and are innately the way that a kli cheres is attached. It's made of clay, and it is not violated by being attached to the earth itself. But the same case, we have a tanur that would be made either of stone. Remember that no stone kli is ever mekabel tuma. So if it was made of stone, and even if it were made of metal, then it will be mekabel tuma, but only if it's consistent with the dinim of kli shetef. Therefore, a tanur made either of evan or of matechet will be tahor. Evan, obviously, is completely tahor, whether you take it off of the ground or not, because kli evan can't be mekabel tuma. And a tanur of matechet will only be mekabel tuma the way clay matechet is mekabel tuma. If it's not mechuper to the ground, and if you don't put the tuma inside of its airspace, because there's no din of airspace, when it comes to a clay matechet. So it keeps tamei mishum clay matechet and nothing else. What's more, if a tanur made of matechet gets a hole in it, nikev, or nivgam, or maybe the edge got cracked, so you have to fix it, or got a crack through it, and it's stuck. And now you took the metal kli, or the stone kli, and you surrounded it with clay to be used as insulation. Then the clay gets baked. Then it becomes tameh, because now the tfeila has made it into a kli cheres. A kli cheres that has a lining of metal inside. When we say it got a nekev and would be reconstituted because you filled this hole with clay, what exactly is the shear of that nekev that takes off the din of the clay matechet and allows it to become a kli cheres? Kamihei benekev. The nekev has to be big enough. This is a very strange case, right? Because, I mean, normally nekev has to do with what the kli holds. If it's a kli, remember, that will hold solid foods, then the standard is zayit, unless the balabayit sets it aside for rimonim, let's say, which would be the maximum. If it's for water, then it's a kirkones mashka. But what in the heck would be the share of a nekev of something that doesn't hold anything? I mean, it just holds heat. So what's the share of the nekev? The shear of the nekev is where you actually see flame shooting out, and not just heat escaping from the nekev. So if the nekev is large enough to allow an escape of actual burning gases, then it's no longer considered to be a kli. The same thing would be true in the equivalent case of a kira. And over there, of course, a kira, which was made of evan, or matechet, would be tahor, same way a tanur would be. Of course, it would have all of the dinim of kli matechot if it was made out of metal. And there too, if it had a nekev, if it was nifkama, if it was nistika, and for that matter, here the tikkun is, if you made pit putin are little feet that you make out of earthenware. And then you go ahead and you can put the pot on top of these feet, and there's enough space for you to be able to put a fire between these feet, then that itself is a kira, and therefore it would become a kira of keres. Same thing would be true if you surrounded it with insulating material, which then gets baked. I don't care whether you put the insulation inside or outside. In this case, it would be tahor. It does not make it like a kli cheres, because a kira is directly exposed to the fire underneath, doesn't really need to have the insulation, because it's not a function of insulation. It's a function of the flame that's in the holes on the top of the kira. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not true. If you put it inside of the kira, then it would become a kira of cheres, and it would be tmeah. And the outside, it would not be considered to be a kira shel cheres. And actually, there's a question about whether Rabbi Yehuda would argue even about the tanur, apparently, which is not clear from the Mishnah, but does appear in a brisa. But that would force us to change our basic approach. Okay, gentlemen, that allowed us to finish Perek Hey. Tomorrow, look forward to Perek Vav of Masechet Kelim, Emir Tzashem. Very good. And thanking you all for coming, wishing you a wonderful day, a continued productive week, Bezrat Hashem,